TED Audio Collective.
Oh man, I'm such a troll.
You identify as a troll.
I identify as a troll. I think I just identify as a troll.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Hey, I'm Dylan Marin, and this is Conversations with People Who Hate Me, the show where I have extended conversations with some of the people who have sent me the most negative or hateful messages on the internet. In this show, and in interviews about this show, I've purposefully chosen to not use the word troll out of respect for my guests. The idea of calling them trolls feels like I'd be stripping them of their humanity, you know, their people, some of whom strongly disagree with my views, others with my sexuality, and a select few with my entire existence, but they're still people and bless them for it. But today, I'm talking to someone who identifies as a troll, and who am I to stand in the way of someone's identity? To use his terminology, he first trolled me when I made a video called Happy Heterosexual Pride Day, a satirical PSA inspired by the many who demanded that straight people should get a Pride Day if gay people get one. Here's a clip.
Today is Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday, or Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or it's Thursday, which means it is Heterosexual Pride Day.
Now, beneath this video, many people left comments, and one of those comments came from a man named James. He wrote, "Dude, you generalize people who are straight, and you're also condescending as fuck. Like, seriously, you want people to feel guilty about the way they were born, and you define people by their sexuality. You're a walking contradiction, mate." So, that was from James, and I am going to call James right now.
Hello.
Hey, is this James?
Yes. Hello. This is Dylan.
Yeah, this is Dylan Marin. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So, James, thank you for talking to me today. Tell me a little about you.
Okay, I'm a stand-up comedian.
That's amazing. And how did you get into stand-up?
Well, I just came up with some material.
Mm-hmm.
And I met people who were in comedy, so I thought maybe I'll give it a shot, so I did.
Mm.
And it went really well, and yeah, it's been going really well ever since. So far I've done only collaboration shows, but mm-hmm. Next year I'm doing a solo show. So.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
What are some of the things you talk about in your set?
I'm kind of one of those one-liner guys. People say it's like pretty dark, but it's like pointing out the most obvious shit that's like right in front of your face, you know? Like, this guy said to me once that the jokes that I write is the jokes that he wishes that he wrote.
Because you're just pointing out the stuff that's there in front of everyone's noses.
Yeah, like right in front of your face kind of stuff.
That's amazing. I don't know if you feel comfortable, but would you mind sharing a few of your jokes now?
I would, but it's kind of like...
I totally get it.
It just won't be funny. It won't be funny.
I 100% get it. It's like someone introducing you at a party and being like, they're funny. And then you're like, what do I say to that? Right. And now I became that awful person. It's like, oh, dance for me, dance for me. So I formally apologize for doing that.
No, that's all right.
I guess in some way that we're similar is I'm also in the comedy community here in New York. I do not, I don't do stand-up. But,
yeah.
And, you know, you will get to your comment, but perhaps you disagree that what I do is comedy, and that is okay. I totally affirm your position.
Yeah.
I see it as comedy, but comedy is like one of those mediums that I actually always, like, so my start in comedy was doing sketch comedy.
Yeah.
And that's how I started in college. And I got very, very nervous about even calling it comedy because I...
Why is that?
Because I was just like, you know what? Whether or not it's comedy, it's like up to the audience to decide.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because I equate saying it's comedy with saying it's funny. So if I tell it's like if I go up to someone and like, hey, I'm funny, you know, then I get so nervous because I'm like, well, you might not think so.
Yeah.
And so comedy is like the funniest name of a genre to me. Because
because it could be anything, really.
Exactly. And it's also totally subjective. So you could tell an audience, like, get ready for comedy coming your way. And they could hate it. And then you're I suppose this wasn't comedy, but in fact, like, just humiliation on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a funny relationship with that. So it's nice to hear you kind of talk about
actually,
what you do.
To be honest, I watched that video that I commented on, mm-hmm. and I did kind of laugh a little bit.
Okay.
I thought it was funny, like, the second time watching it.
Okay, but the first time, you didn't.
Yeah, but I was, like, really wasted. I can't even remember watching it, really.
The first time you were wasted. So, this is a great segue. Let's get to it right now. James, you wrote under that video, and I'm going to read, dude, you generalize people who are straight, and you're also condescending as fuck.
Oh, God.
Like, seriously, you want people to feel guilty about the way they were born, and you define people by their sexuality. You're a walking contradiction, mate. So, James, here we are.
How embarrassing.
No, it's, I mean, I am not embarrassed. Look, we're having a great time on the phone. Do you feel embarrassed by that?
Well, I'm not really, because I don't really get embarrassed, but mm-hmm. I mean, like, slightly. Mm-hmm. I can see where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it must have been like, I think it was the whole combining religion with being straight and mm-hmm. like, I don't know, it just wasn't reality for me. Like, I mean, because I was never brought up with any religion in my family mm-hmm. at all. And then, like, it kind of seemed like you were putting all this whole massive genre, I don't know if that's the right word, but genre of people in one box.
I mean, the joke that it was based on, or the take, I suppose, is that this was a few weeks after the Orlando shooting in Florida, which coincided with Pride Month. And a lot of people were saying we should have a heterosexual Pride Month.
Okay. Yeah, see, I had no idea.
I wasn't equating heterosexuality with religion. It's just that so often the Bible is used as the shield to, or I guess more aptly, the sword to convince people that homosexuality is a sin. So
I get it.
It was kind of twisting that and turning it on its head and saying Adam and Eve were the first persecuted straight people, and that's when straight culture was born. Again, I am not saying this to, like, change your mind so that you think it was funny, and just I'm already, like, breaking out into a sweat thinking that I'm potentially on the phone with someone being like, no, please, what I did was funny. That sounds like, feels so desperate to me. Or that feels like I'm giving voice to the desperation that truly lives within me. Here we are, I'm being real about it. but here, you know, James, it's coming out with you. So I guess that's where I was coming from.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I knew that there were people who actually wanted a heterosexual Pride Day,
right,
then I think I would have understood the
Yeah.
Because I kind of figured that the second time I watched it. I was like, oh, well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, duh, James, what the fuck? But, the first time I didn't get that. I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were actually people who would even want a heterosexual Pride Day. It's weird.
James, there are so many humans on this planet who want a heterosexual Pride Day. I mean, I think it's very similar to, like, white pride, right? It's people who think that gay pride is suffocating straight existence. When the irony is that gay pride actually exists because it was being suffocated by, you know, like, by the refusal to acknowledge that it existed. So, you know, you're a comedian, and I'm curious, what is your approach to comedy? And I guess, like, what draws you to it?
Well, when I was about maybe 13, I was diagnosed with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
I think people just think my way of looking at the world is funny.
Huh.
Like, everything's literal.
For anyone listening who doesn't know what Asperger's is, could you just give us, like, a quick definition?
It's kind of like on the spectrum of, like, you know, autism and, like, ADD, ADHD stuff. It's on the spectrum. And, yeah, and I make fun, like, people make fun of me all the time.
What are the challenges to having Asperger's and being a comedian?
Well, the challenges are, like, it's hard to socialize.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always think that, like, in the comedy scene, it's always a, like, given that you're going to drink. Because
mm-hmm.
it's always at a bar, everyone's drinking. And for me, that's a coping mechanism.
Drinking.
Because I'm not very good socially.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is the challenge. That's the challenges, mainly socially.
Is that just to, like, make socializing easier?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had a drink for a long time now. I think just before you messaged me, I stopped drinking.
Oh, amazing.
It's been like, yeah, I had like a couple of lapses because it's like alcohol is like the hardest thing to give up.
Before that,
I went through like a whole decade of drinking and like,
mm-hmm.
and amphetamine use.
Uh-huh.
In Adelaide, there's a massive, crystal meth epidemic.
Oh, really?
Right now.
And you were using.
Yeah. But I quit that like, about a year ago, but I was still using other amphetamines.
Mm-hmm.
But then I stopped that completely, like cold turkey.
Oh, was that hard?
It was. Alcohol is harder,
mm-hmm.
and also the withdrawals from alcohol are way worse.
Mm-hmm. You would say withdrawal from alcohol is worse than crystal meth.
Yeah, because when you withdraw from crystal meth, you're like, you sleep through most of the withdrawals because you're so tired.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and you just want to like eat and stuff and lie in bed.
Right.
So that's kind of easy. And it only lasts, it doesn't even last that long. But the withdrawals from alcohol are what is just so much worse.
Huh.
It lasts longer and you like can't sleep for ages.
Yeah. And is this the kind of first time that you've decided to go sober?
This is the second time. It's kind of one of those things where you really have to choose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, I think the first time I just wasn't ready to do it. So I didn't, but now, you know, I'm 28. I feel like the rest of my life will be better if I quit.
I just have to say I really applaud you for... I don't want to say applaud you for not... for kind of going sober, because maybe there are some folks listening who don't feel that they're ready to do that yet, but I just think I applaud you for kind of making a change that is, like, pro you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
You said that when you first wrote this comment, you were drunk, right?
Yeah, I was fully drunk and on drugs.
Oh, really? So when you enter that headspace, do you comment on videos or do you do things that you normally wouldn't do on the internet, like engage in conversations with people?
Yeah, I do that a lot anyway. I love to, you know,
comment.
Oh man, I'm such a troll.
You identify as a troll.
Stay right there. We'll be right back.
If you like this podcast and you want to help support it directly, you can check out our merch store. We have brand new shirts that say, "Empathy is not endorsement," a mantra I've made for the show, and stickers that say what I say at the end of every episode, "Remember, there's a human on the other side of the screen." Also, there's a shirt that has Rob Wilson's beautiful logo for our show on it. Check it all out at www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com and click on merch.
All right, let's get back to the conversation.
You identify as a troll. I mean, do you?
I identify as a troll. I think I just identify as a troll.
Wow. Do you feel like you troll more when you're under the influence, or it's like in all kind of states you like trolling?
I troll in all states, but
that sounds like a beautiful quote that should be like printed somewhere. I troll in all states. Great.
Yeah.
I suppose the formal question to ask is, how do you troll?
Well, I usually only troll if I disagree with something.
Like me being condescending as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Depending on how like wasted I am, the troll will be like, I can do a good troll, and then I can do a shit troll, and the troll that I did on you was a shit troll.
Talk to me about what a good troll is.
A good troll is one that I easily shut someone down and make it funny at the same time.
Got it.
And get likes. You got to get likes on a good troll gets more likes.
Huh. Oh wow, this is fascinating. Okay, so
I got almost 4,000 likes on a troll once.
Wow.
Yeah,
and by on a troll, you meant like on a comment under a video or a post?
Yeah.
Got it. And your main incentive for making that comment was what? Like, what was the payback you were hoping for? The likes?
Yeah, and also the way I word it.
Uh-huh. Right.
I think like my troll on your video wasn't worded very well.
Do you think trolling is inherently connected to comedy?
Yes.
Huh. Wow,
because
is so interesting to me.
Well, why is it interesting? Is it like what would you consider a troll?
I would say trolling is completely negative.
Okay.
What I actually think is that we're getting to something very, very interesting here, which is that it's not how I would judge trolling, but how I would judge comedy.
Yeah, okay.
To me, the funniest joke is something that makes you think about the world differently, and it involves more people. And
yeah,
and I really don't like comedy.
So that would be like a good troll.
Right, but at the same time, a troll is like, okay, well, I'm open to this, but from my understanding, trolling something or trolling someone is attacking that person, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, and I don't
possibly
at all like comedy that attacks one single person. And I think that's where it's really different. So, like, while I, like, completely applaud you as a comedian, and I think the fact that you're, like, I'm going to get very SJW right now, but I think it's very cool that you're doing comedy, especially when people think that people with Asperger's can't do comedy. You know, I think that's fucking heroic and awesome. And I don't mean that sarcastically.
Oh, thank you.
But I think it kind of feels like when you're telling me that you're trolling and you're like,
yeah,
I'm gonna use your talents to make a very incisive takedown about someone or something, and you're gonna troll them. I think that is a misuse of your talent.
Yeah.
If you're using that energy to make a joke at the expense of a person, I feel like that is almost an abuse of your power. And that might sound very intense, yeah, but like, it's almost as if like, you are, go with me here, but you're about to receive a big compliment, so get the fuck ready. But it almost feels like, because you have a talent and clear interest in comedy, that you have a power, kind of like a superhero. But as we know from the comics, you can use your power for good or you can use your power for bad. And I'm sure, I'm sure you use your power for good when you're doing a stand-up set. But I think if you're trolling, I feel like you're not, I feel like you're using that power for bad, because that might make you really happy to get a lot of likes, but the person who you are trolling, could, like, that could ruin their day. It could ruin their week. You know what I mean?
That's so bad.
No, I'm actually not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm saying this to be like, you possess something really cool. Yeah. You know, like, you possess the ability to
Well, I feel pretty good at the same time.
Right. So you feel very good. Okay. good. So it's a mixed feeling. So you were saying that the troll comment you left for me you said that was a bad troll. And do you think it's a bad troll because you didn't think it was like a good joke or incisive?
I don't even think I made a joke, did I? I think, like, obviously, like, that comment, just reading it out, it sounds so fucking like, ugh.
Yeah.
But if I was like, say if I was like in the same room as you and I watched that video, it would be so different.
Right. Or if instead of a video that was a set that I did or a bit that I did in my set, you wouldn't necessarily stand up in the comedy club and say,
oh, no.
Dude, you generalize people. You know what I mean? You'd be like, all right, I just won't laugh, you know?
People would hate me if I did that.
Yeah, they'd be like, all right, you know, like, maybe whether they loved my set or hated my set, they'd be like, all right, sir, in the back, you know, like, you don't need to yell. But I then this is interesting to me, and go down this rabbit hole with me for a second, but it almost feels like trolling is giving a voice to, like, why you're not laughing at something in a comedy set. You know what I mean? It's like, instead of not laughing, you're like, all right, let me take down this person with why I'm not laughing, you know? Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, the irony too is, like, you know, like, you were condescending to my video, and I'm not saying this because you should feel bad about it. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
I was being condescending there. I became the contradiction.
Yeah, right. And so maybe, in fact, now you wrote a really brilliant meta joke, because now,
like, an elaborate joke.
Yes, it's a very elaborate joke, and the punchline only just came now, months after you writing this comment.
Like, it turns out I'm like a fucking genius.
Yeah, James, kudos to you. Look at you. I still, as entertaining as that is to consider, I mean, I just think, like, I do kind of stick to what I said before, which is, like, I think comedy is a power. Now, it's totally subjective, what I call good comedy, what you call good comedy, but I really do feel like it's not entertaining to me when I see someone being attacked by good comedy, because I just see it as a waste of good comedy. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Like, yeah, I see that.
Like, even when I kind of see a comedian making a homophobic joke or a transphobic joke, I'm like, wow, That sucks. You're a genius.
Yeah.
And this is how you use your genius is by like attacking a group of people who is already marginalized. Like it
Yeah.
I'm just like, what if you took all the time that you put into those jokes, which clearly you put time into because they're like technically well crafted, and what if you instead put that into a joke that was like definitively punching up, which is just to say like attacking someone who is or a group of people who are more powerful than you, or like, you know, making some like acute observation of the world.
Do you think like I was kind of thinking about this, what if, is it not offensive to leave someone out in terms of like, say if I'm going to be joking about people or groups of people, if I'm not gonna, if say if I didn't joke about say for example trans people or whatever, if I didn't make fun of them, then wouldn't that be more offensive because I see them as a something you don't make fun of, which is like in my mind,
no,
it's
I
like,
mean
like leaving them out in a way.
I totally disagree. I mean, I think so I think that's kind of where we might see this differently, but I think the joke should never be about trans people. The joke can be about, if the topic is trans identity, then there are so many different directions you could go with the joke. You could make fun of like transphobia. I think like like one of the best jokes, I think it was like from the 90s even, and this was when trans identity wasn't really even being talked about, and the big thing was like gay people. Like I see that Chris Rock joke of saying, I want gay people to be married so that they can be just as miserable as the rest of us, is like the perfect kind of way to make a joke when you're not part of a community, but you're kind of joking about a topic, because it wasn't at the expense of gay people.
People always say we can't have gay marriage because marriage is a sacred institution that happens in the church. It's sacred. No, it's not. Marriage ain't sacred. Not in America. Not in a country that watches Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Shit, gay people got a right to be as miserable as everybody else.
Yeah, because it's the punchline. The punchline is making fun of married people, not gay people.
So I have a challenge for you, which is like, it's so cool to hear how much you think about comedy and how much it means to you, and how much, you know, effort and energy you put into a joke, as stand-ups do. I say, like, kind of figure out a way to even leave a troll comment that, like, is a great joke, but that isn't at the expense of anyone. You know, like, I've seen many comments that, like, don't make anyone feel bad, but are like really great observations about the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So not that
I can
you
do that.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Awesome. You can see it as homework, or if you hate homework, then fuck that. You can see it as whatever you want to see it as, or you cannot do it, you know? I'm just me and you're just you. So
that's so philosophical.
Yeah. So, James, do you regret writing this comment?
No, because if I didn't write it, then we wouldn't have this conversation, would we?
No, and we would have just been two people on different sides of the planet who would never have spoken to each other. So here we are.
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
this is it.
James, I'm glad you called me condescending as fuck. Here we are. or a walking contradiction, both, you know, I'm proud of both.
Yeah.
So
good.
James, as you know, this show is called Conversations with People Who Hate Me. Do you hate me?
No, I don't hate you at all. I like you now, Dylan.
Oh, James, I like you now, too. Look at us. Look, we from condescending as fuck to phone friends. This is cool.
It's awesome.
Well, James, it was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
If you start working on some new material and you write that joke that kind of doesn't attack a single person, I'd love to hear it if you want to share it with me.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, cool. James, it was a real pleasure to talk to you, and I'll see you on the internet, okay?
Okay, see you later.
All right, bye, James.
Conversations with People Who Hate Me is a production of Night Vale Presents. Christy Gressman is the executive producer, Vincent Cascione is the sound engineer and mixer, Alan Rahimic is the production manager, the theme song is These Dark Times by Caged Animals, the logo was designed by Rob Wilson, and this podcast was created, produced, and hosted by me, Dylan Marin. Special thanks to Night Vale Presents Director of Marketing, Adam Cecil, our publicist, Christine Ragassa, and also Dustin Flannery McCoy, Rob Silcox, Mark Maloney, and production assistants Allison Goldberger and Emily Moeller. Thank you to all of those who gave encouragement throughout this process, and also thank you to those who warned me against doing this project. I did it anyway. And yes, thank you to those who wrote the hateful messages, comments, and posts that inspired me to turn one-way negativity into productive two-way conversations. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back with another conversation next week. If you love this show, tell all of your friends about it, and if you hated this show, maybe write to me. Tell me why you hated it, and who knows, maybe you'll be a guest on the show. Just remember, there is a human on the other side of the screen.
Racing through these dark times, and it's hard to take it, but we're gonna make it through these dark times, make it through these dark times, make it through these dark times.